The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Connect with ultra-fast speeds and our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
9:28 this Thursday morning, and I want to welcome you to Arthur and Deborah Carr. Good morning, Arthur and Deborah. Nice of you to join us this morning.
Good morning, Ryan.
Morning, Ryan.
And thanks for being with us. You're in Galway. How's Galway City today? Tell me.
It's a bit drizzly, and the traffic is terrible.
But you know something, part the traffic bit, but walking through Shop Street on a drizzly Thursday morning, you could do worse things.
Absolutely.
You could do worse things. Thanks for coming in to see us anyway today. And I'd love you to tell us a bit about Claddagh Watch and why it's required. So maybe one of you take the lead there.
Well, Claddagh Watch was set up in 2019.
Yeah.
Our first patrol was on the 5th of July, and we've been out every weekend since. Our aim is to prevent accidental deaths and suicides on the rivers of Galway and the waters of Galway.
What's desperately sad about that is that you're not the only people doing something like this in waterways around Ireland. And the fact is that the fact that it's needed at all says something terrible about what's happening out there. Could you kind of enlighten us a little as to what is happening out there? How has it come to this?
Well, originally, I suppose, January 19, mm-hmm. I think we lost 5 people inside a week. And out of those, I think there was 3 that were accidental deaths. And we decided that we had to do something because unnecessary deaths are just not acceptable in society. And we spoke to various people, and I suppose we set up and we based ourselves on a very, very successful organisation down in the southeast called Wexford Marine Watch. They were enormous help to us and guided us, and actually even gave us a lot of gear to get us going at the very outset, you know.
And when you're on a Claddagh Watch, do you work together when you're on the watch, or do you work with different volunteers?
We have, I think, on our books 87 volunteers.
Really?
At the moment.
Okay.
Yeah. Very, very dedicated crew. I think we're very, very lucky. We go out in groups of 2.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, I suppose, a very unique city that all the other counties and towns and cities that have these set up, they have one river flowing through the middle.
Yes.
But in Galway, we have in excess of 22 kilometres of water within the city. So, and a lot of that is unprotected. So that's our job, is to try and guide people away from the rivers as much as possible.
It's a strange thing to bring up, but I will. In a beautiful Christmas movie that I adore called It's a Wonderful Life, it actually begins in some ways with James Stewart as George Bailey looking at the flowing water and thinking, I don't think it was worth it, I'm out of here. And it's desperately sad because he's going, what do I do? And thankfully for him, a mysterious figure comes along and says, hang on a second. Jack actually jumps in and drags them out to dry their clothes, and so begins this magical tale. In some ways, you're the Clarence to this piece, whereby, you know where I'm going with this. You will see somebody maybe looking at that flowing water and thinking, where to from here? What do you do when you see somebody contemplating their very existence?
Our job is to approach them, and just the initial conversation is very simple. It's, you know, are you all right there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can I help you? So there's no big kind of plan as regards removing them from the water. What you're doing is just asking them a very simple, basic question of humanity. Are you okay? And it might just be that they are a little bit disorientated. Maybe they've had a few drinks, and you can move them on, maybe find their friends for them. Other people are a bit more vulnerable. So we are looking for people that are disorientated, you know, that don't maybe look themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you're approaching them, asking them they're okay. You're moving them away from the water. And in the event that you feel that they need more help, then you're looking for the blue light services. You're either calling the ambulance or the fire brigade or the Gardaí.
So you pass them on to a different
service. We do. So we keep them safe.
Then.
We
yes.
keep them safe for the few minutes that we have them.
Yes.
And it's generally a conversation that we have with them, first and foremost. You know, we have so many different incidences of so many different levels. And what we do is we just keep them safe. You know, that's the aim. We've so many different volunteers with so many different skills. Mm. They come from every background, Ryan. You wouldn't believe it. Mm. We have from the late teens to retirees. We have professionals, non-professionals. We've slightly more women than men. We have quite a lot of women that are, say, over the age of 40. And they're so amazing. They give up a minimum of one night a month. That's all we ask. We just ask them to do one night a month. And if they want to do more, they can. Mm. So we have a team of about 10 people that go out a couple of nights a week, the busiest nights. We divide them into teams of two or three, and out they go. They walk the long walk in Galway. They do Nemo's Pier. They do up around the back of the Roisin Dove. They go anywhere that they feel is a hot spot, you know, unfortunately. And there are a few hot spots that are well known.
And people are very generous with their time.
Extraordinary.
And
I mean,
hearts,
they get off their sofa at 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening to head out into the west of Ireland weather.
Yeah.
The cold, the breeze, you know, and the rain. And they do it so, they give so much. I'm so impressed by them.
No, it's good. It's actually gorgeous to hear about that. And Arthur, I remember on the Late Late Show, Blind Boy Boat Club was talking about a few years ago, and he made quite an impact with one casual, not casual, but one comment that he made, which was that he's fed up with hearing stories of young people throwing themselves into the rivers because they were, you know, mental health issues and depression and worried about the world. Do you see that? Do you, like, for people who do want to end their lives and die by suicide, do they tell you why, or is that something for another day?
Well, we do hear stories. You know, it can be quite difficult. The approach that we do make, it's very non-invasive, and you know, the communications is to try and calm somebody down as much as possible, make them safe, because we're not professionals. You know, we're all, as Deborah says there, we're from all walks of life. We're not counsellors, or we're not social workers. We hand them over to the services that are required at the time. And the stories do come out. We try and distance ourselves from that, because at the end of the day, we can't be taking things that we see or hear or do on the rivers. We can't be taking them home with us.
I understand, and you have to watch your own side of things as well. Deborah, I'm hearing an English accent, I think, from you.
Yes, yes.
Arthur, I'm not hearing an English accent from you.
Oh, born, bred Galway.
A proper, what is it, Ballinasloe?
Oh, yes.
Oh, proper. Okay. Now, so how does a Ballinasloe boy meet a London lady?
I was very lucky.
Good answer, Arthur. Smooth. Keep going.
I moved here when I was 14 with my family, and I met Arthur outside the gates of the convent school.
Go on. I'm not letting you off that easily. Go on.
Well, he was dressed in black leather biker gear, and I'll never forget the first time I saw him. And it wasn't long before we married. I was 17, he was 19. That was 38 years ago, the day before yesterday. So, you know.
So you're together, you're married how long now?
38 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. The day before yesterday.
The day before yesterday. That's tremendous. Okay, so you're based in Ballinasloe, are you now? Or are you in Galway City? Yeah.
We are. We're based in Ballinasloe.
You're in Ballinasloe. I was talking to David Brophy. He's the conductor from the RT. Well, sorry, he used to be with the RT Concert Orchestra. He's now just an amazing gun for hire. And he does these beautiful things with charities, and whether it's carers or with the homeless. And in the middle of our conversation, we got talking about how he had a pretty tough childhood in school, bad time. And yet, goodness won out. He chose to be one of the life's very good, kind people. And the reason I bring David up is because there's a certain symmetry with your own story, Deborah, particularly this morning, that you've spoken about before. And I'd like you to share, if it's not too intrusive with our listeners, as to what happened to you in 2011 and how that might have fueled where you are today.
In 2011, I was feeling very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I was in quite a stressful job. I had gone to Australia the previous year, and I'm adopted, and I'd met my birth mother, and it hadn't ended up as well as I'd hoped. And by 2011, I was so stressed and so strung out that I had a breakdown. And I went home, mm-hmm. and because I was living away from home working, and I just cocooned myself for months on end because I was just in such a raw state. And it wasn't long after this that Arthur, he's told me since, that he said to himself that if we got through it in one piece, this breakdown of mine, if we made it through to the other side, that he wanted to help people never to be in the same position as we were again.
And can I ask you, and forgive me for interrupting, but I do want to ask you, what does a breakdown look like or feel like?
For me, it was a long time coming. I was on a path. I was sliding into it for around 2.5 years.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And it took me a long, long time to get out of it. So, you know, I was nervous. I wasn't able to sleep. I was in constant pain, physically and mentally. And it was just a horrendous situation. I look back and I wonder how on earth I managed to keep getting up each morning and going to work because, you know, I would find myself crying in my office and, you know, trying to keep it all together, juggling so many different things and feeling as though I had no choice but to keep going, which, of course, isn't the case. But I couldn't see that.
Well, there you are. I think so many people feel that is the case and they keep going, but actually they need to be told you have to stop, you have to mind yourself.
Yeah.
So how did you get to that critical point?
To figure out how to recover.
Yes, to kind of step. You've described it as slipping down like a horrible landslide down a cliff. So how did you manage to stop that?
It was a couple of things. Arthur started the charity Galway East Life Support. There had been some suicides in Ballinasloe and everyone was affected. Every single person we met was affected by them. So he approached a few different people in Ballinasloe, including the local superintendent, Jerry Roach. He's now chief super. And the two of them made such a formidable team. They put together the group. They put together a poster detailing 7 different charities and a breakdown of what they did, covering all kind of aspects, you know, covering kind of the loss of a small child, covering the loss of a close family member, covering, you know, issues, jigsaw for mental health for youth. And it was a huge success. And they just progressed from there. They did community talks. I wasn't bought in the beginning, to say the least. I was quite resentful. I was feeling quite precious about myself because I was feeling so bad that I couldn't really see why he was doing this. But little by little, he started getting me to write emails for him and do the odd letter for him and maybe design a poster. And as time went by, I found I was getting more and more invested in it. And then I was getting territorial and I was saying, no, I'll do that. Don't give that to somebody else. I'll do that task. And it wasn't long before I was bought into it completely.
You were getting better.
I was getting better. It was the best therapy I could have ever had.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Because that word you use, resentful, excuse me, is interesting because you obviously were all about you.
Yes.
Would that be fair to say? Not to be judgy, but...
I couldn't think of anyone else, you know. Yeah. I just felt so bad and I was trying so hard to recover. So it was a mixture of things that's got me to where I am today. Obviously, the charity work is a huge thing for me. Mm. I love every minute of it, but I'm very much a keyboard warrior. I do all of my work on the sofa in the evening with a laptop. And I've just found that I also had a really good therapist. Now, I'm not going to deny that. He's an amazing man from Moore & Moore.
Great.
So between the two, you know, it's worked wonders.
It's a collaborative effect of proper care for the mind and for the soul. So you're sounding good form, I have to say, which is great to hear and reassuring. Yeah, go on.
Oh, well, I was just going to say also that because of the work with Galway East Life Support, we would put on mental health safe talk and assist courses each year. And because the organisation was putting them on, I actually did them myself. And I progressed from there to do many more mental health training,
great,
including some professional training.
Great.
So by educating myself, I've learned so much about myself and I've learned why I feel the way I feel and how to deal with it. So Arthur's a big advocate of local intervention. And I think the most local intervention you can have is actually to train yourself. You know, those courses aren't being done face-to-face, but there's many of them online that you can do.
That's the new reality, isn't it?
Absolutely. And some of them are really excellent.
And tell me this, Arthur, on the Cladder Watch project, if you want to call it that, where do you work out of in Galway in terms of a base?
Well, that's a point at the moment.
Go on.
We're looking for a place that we can call home because there's so many volunteers now, but we're working out of a container that was very generously given to us by Paul Carey Construction, and the area that it's in, it's at the back of Monroe's Tavern, which they were very generous in allowing us to put it there.
What, when you say containers, it's like a space that you can work in?
It's like a railway container. Right. It's a lock-up container at the back of Monroe's Tavern, and that's what we're working out of.
What would you like?
I would like a place that we could call home, where we could have a meeting.
Mm-hmm. An office of some sort.
Training. Office, training, facilities, just somewhere, as I said, that we can call home.
Okay. We've been donated a couple of bicycles, and it would be amazing to have volunteers out on bikes. They'd be able to cover so much more ground. Mm. But we just don't have any room in the current base for that. We don't even have room for them to get changed properly.
Yeah, that's a pity. Now you could really do with that lift. So, are you fundraising or for this, or are you counting on the kindness of strangers, or how does that work?
Galway City is an amazing place, truly amazing, and the amount of support that we get, not alone from the public but from the businesses, and we all know the extraordinary hard times that we're going through, and the businesses, the problems that they're having, they have never once let us down. Anything we wanted, any time we've spoken to anybody on the bridge, they have just been so, so generous. And, you know, like, there are just too many to mention, because I'd be afraid in case I'd leave out somebody.
No, that's okay. And in fact, one of the reasons we're talking today is because weren't you nominated for a Safety and Emergency Award by the wonderful people at Volunteering Ireland?
Yes,
congratulations.
We were. Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
It was such a wonderful surprise.
Good for morale, eh?
Absolutely. Totally unexpected. We'd hoped that Cladderwatch would get a nomination, which it did. But totally didn't see the other one coming in for myself and Arthur.
Well, that's good news. And the Christine Buckley Volunteer of the Year Award, have you heard of that?
I've heard of it, yes. I was reading about it the other day.
That's awarded to one particularly exceptional volunteer every year. And we spoke to Christine's son, Connor, not too long ago. A lovely family and lovely person Christine was too. Anyway, this great Volunteer of the Year Award is normally given to one person, but they've decided to make an exception this year. I don't know if you heard about this, but they're giving it to two exceptional people. And I'm talking to them right now. Congratulations.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Arthur and Deborah, they've decided. Yeah, you've just won. You have won the Christine Buckley Volunteer of the Year Award. If you see our dear friend John, this should be coming in to you now. There.
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
and he's bringing
you
a 1,000 euro for your charity. Congratulations. And a framed piece of Galway art and a plaque. Lads, bring in the applause. Congratulations, Arthur, Deborah, for all your hard work.
Thank you so much.
You're kind and you're thoughtful and you're altruistic and you're the true spirit of volunteerism in Ireland. It's a beautiful thing that you do, and Dunica from Volunteer Ireland is going to meet you there afterwards and tell you why you've won this. You don't need me to tell you because you've just explained it. How are you feeling?
Somebody will pay for this.
It's John. Blame John. But here, just so you know, this was awarded for your commitment, your professionalism and your positive impact. This has been a year that needs all of those things. So on behalf of us, but particularly Volunteer Ireland, congratulations. You deserve it all.
Oh, Ryan, thank you. Thank you so much.
No, Ryan, thank you, guys.
Can I just one thing?
Yes, Arthur.
I would like to emphasise, it's not that I want the last word, I'm going to stop after this. We want to emphasise that Cladderwatch Patrol we're not a suicide prevention charity. We're out there to prevent the accidental deaths and the suicides on the river, because, you know, there are a huge amount of accidental deaths as well, and them are the people that we will be looking out for.
As you say that, Roger Sweeney is the Deputy CEO of Water Safety Ireland, who's quickly to text in to say thanks to everybody at Cladderwatch, all the volunteers for their efforts. An average of 10 people drown nationwide every month, and one third of those are suicides. So kind regards. You make a difference. We appreciate what you do. Arthur, Deborah, happy Christmas.
Thank you so much.
And congratulations.
Thank you,
nice to talk to you both.
Thank you.
I'll see you in Galway sometime.
I hope so. Thank you.
I hope so too. Take care.
Thank you.